Good morning and welcome to the Paul Green Comedy Podcast. It is April 3rd, 2024. This is episode 126. And, man, all right, where do I go from here? Again, you see that it's dark behind me. I am here in Vegas. I am filming this the night before I release it. So, last night, I had an opportunity to go to yet another open mic. It was at a comedy club called Wise Guys, which is a franchise that actually has two venues in Las Vegas. They also have a venue up in Salt Lake City. I think I've been to the Wise Guys in Salt Lake City. If I remember right, I saw Tony Hinchcliffe there. I think that was the venue I went to in Salt Lake City. And the owner of Wise Guys is also the owner of the Dry Bar Comedy Specials, for those of you who are fans of the Dry Bar stand-up comedy. And I actually saw him briefly tonight. Didn't really get a chance to say hello or introduce myself. He was kind of in the middle of a bunch of stuff right when I kind of happened to show up. But it was cool to see him. I have been trying to get a Dry Bar special for a while now, and I have emailed that gentleman many, many times. And no luck so far getting a Dry Bar comedy special, but I am working on it. So, the open mic last night, first of all, the club is a very remarkable club. It's pretty breathtaking, actually. I mean, it's really nice. It's really sleek. It's really big. I was actually surprised how large of a venue it is. I bet you it probably sits 300. And again, there are two Wise Guys in Las Vegas. I have now been to both of them, and this one is definitely bigger than the one I went to. I went to the other Wise Guys at the end of 2023 for a comedy festival called Laugh After Dark Comedy Festival. And I had a great time at that comedy festival. So anyway, I went and did the open mic. There were a lot of comics there. So a few days ago, I think I talked through all of the different type of open mic. There are all of the different types of format. And so last night's open mic was a bucket mic, which means you literally just throw your name in a bucket as you walk in. Now, there are a couple of different types of bucket mics. One type of bucket mic is, as a comic, you show up, you throw your name in a bucket, and then the host will draw names out of the bucket as the open mic is going. So you have no idea if your name is ever going to get drawn or not. That's one type. And it also depends. Sometimes they will put a cap on it. Like the Laugh Factory in Hollywood is that way. So you put your name in a bucket. They will draw out the names. But the open mic itself is only about an hour long. And every comic gets 2 minutes. So they may do about 20 comics, and they'll usually have a couple of like featured sets, or you know, they'll have somebody from like the teenage class, the teenager comedy class, get up and do a couple minutes. And so it's not all comics from the bucket, but you just have to sit there. You have no idea if your name's going to get drawn, but you have to wait for the whole thing because you could be the last name drawn. And you never know. So you sit through the whole open mic. Now, the other way that they'll do bucket mics, which is how Wise Guys did it, which is they actually drew everybody's name, but they do it beforehand, and then they actually generate a list. So they'll just draw, and they'll generate a list from all of the names, but they actually put up everybody. So everybody who puts their name in the bucket we'll get to go up. And for Wise Guys, it was 3 minutes. And they posted the list right before the open mic. So you could actually go up and see where you are on the list. which is super helpful because that way, if you know you're later in the night, you can maybe leave if you want, or you can go hang out. You don't have to be in the room just waiting and hoping, oh my gosh, I'm tired, to hear your name drawn. So so I was there, and I was there with my buddy Andrew, who brought his buddy Eric. And then I actually ran into another comedian friend of mine from LA. Her name is Amanda Cohen. She's incredibly funny. And I saw her Monday night as well. She happened to be on the show that I went to, and she was there. So Andrew didn't put his name in, but me, Eric, and Amanda all had our names in. So when the list came out, I was number 13. Eric was number 32. And Amanda was number 51. And she wasn't the last one, by the way. So I just want to give you an idea of the scope of how many comedians there are. How many human beings who call themselves comics are showing up to Wise Guys Comedy Club at 7:30 on a Tuesday night in Vegas, put their name in a bucket to be drawn, and are willing to sit around for over 50 comics. I think my friend Amanda said that after her, there were two more comics. So there were 53 total. And if you do the math, they were all doing 3 minutes. So that is 159 minutes, which is what? About 2 hours and 40 minutes. Is my math right on that? Right? 120 minutes is 2 hours. 180 would be 3 hours, right? So over 2.5 hours of comedian after comedian after comedian after comedian, all getting up and doing 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes. So I went up 13th, which was actually a really great spot. There was still a lot of energy in the room. And I did a little bit of improvisation up front. I riffed on some things, not a lot, and I actually had thought of a couple of jokes before I had gone up. And it had to do a little bit with, those of you who watched my podcast yesterday know that I had an open mic at almost 1 a.m. where I pretty much just riffed for about 10 minutes. I had several comics before me who were incredibly funny, who did a lot of material about how they don't like white people. They were black comics, and then I had to follow them, and not only were they incredibly transgressive and very opinionated, they were absolutely hilarious. I mean, they just had the whole bar rolling in stitches, and then I had to follow that. And so I just went up there and just knew that there was no way I was going to be able to get away with just going up there and telling jokes and doing my set. So I went up there sort of as the heel. So I went up and kind of just played the villain and just talked about how I'm the guy who everybody in this open mic hates, and how I'm the white guy, and how I look like a cop, and how I look like a teacher, and how I look like I'm wealthy, and that I have a 401k, and how I have white privilege and all that stuff. And it went over very, very well because I was really just leaning into the situation I found myself. So last night at Wise Guys, I actually took a little bit of that concept and opened up with the fact that I am a straight white guy and that I look like the type of person that everybody hates. I look like a cop. Or I look like a wealthy person because I look exactly like Jeff Bezos. And then I just talked about how I look like if Jeff Bezos actually joined the police force. So just sort of leaned into that idea. And it seemed to go pretty well. I didn't quite have the courage to riff that whole set because it wasn't actually that type of energy. It was not nearly as rowdy as the bar. That wasn't the right energy. So I did just open up with a little bit of those concepts and then just went into more of the standard material that I have been doing, and it went pretty well. I don't think I killed as hard as I did Monday night. But again, Monday night was an anomaly. I was just going off the cuff and really just more adapting to the environment instead of more holding to my guns and telling, doing my material. But that is also where I am looking to expand as a comedian, is finding my voice and being able to express my opinions and express my voice and do so with the same sort of raucous energy and poignant honesty while still holding true to the craft. And so that's what I'm looking to accomplish. I have talked about how I'm in town with my good friend Andrew, who's an incredibly seasoned, successful comic, and he and I actually talked a lot tonight about that. We went for a walk after my set while we were waiting another 20 comics to go up before our next friend got up on stage. So anyway, I am going to work with him and see if he can't help me bridge that gap and to really discover how I can take my comedic performances when I actually have sets that are a little more conventional and just see how I can, just see if I can start to take my comedic performances to the next level and be able to come out and take the sort of raw, in the moment honesty from that Monday night open mic at a bar at 1 a.m. and be able to elicit that same sort of energy and that same sort of comedic response from, you know, an audience in Gilbert, Arizona at 7 p.m. who paid money to see a comedy show. I feel that that is going to be necessary for me if I am going to progress at all to the next level of performance capability. And we'll see. Hopefully my buddy Andrew can mentor me. He's been down the road a lot further than I have and has had a lot of successful experiences and opportunities that I have not yet had. And he is a huge supporter of me. He believes in me, and I actually feel that he would be able to provide insight. You know, I talk a lot about you have to be really careful who you take advice from, especially when it comes to comedy, because it's so subjective. And a lot of times when people are given advice about comedy, they may be well-intentioned, but, you know, I don't know. There's so much more to it than just, oh, we'll just stand up there and say funny things. It's like, yeah, okay, well, how? And what is it that really makes a comic who is just absolutely slaughtering a room of people with laughter versus the thousands and tens of thousands and maybe even hundreds of thousands of comics who are, you know, one out of 53 comics at an open mic, and can maybe get a chuckle here or there. So I am definitely looking to find out how I can be the writer, be option number one, and take all that I have, all of my experience as a performer, as a comedian, as an actor, and really start to try to write in a manner that is that type of energy and that funny. And take it to the next level. When I was talking to my buddy Andrew, he just said, you know, if you're open and you're willing to do the work, and he said, and if you're also willing to throw away everything you've ever done and pretty much start over, and to just be methodical and to just be willing to suck for a while. And it's like, yeah, that's what it takes. You know, every once in a while you have to kill a baby or two. I don't like that terminology, but I think you get the analogy. You have to be willing sometimes to let go of what's working okay to open yourself up to what will work better. And it reminds me, about 4 or 5 years ago, I took this stand-up comedy class in LA, which was the first time that I really had a very transformational understanding in my stand-up comedy, and was the first time I actually made a lot of adjustments. And I remember for about a year taking that comedy class and was really trying to figure out what it was that they were trying to teach me. The teacher of it is a gentleman named Steve North, who is a old timer. He's probably in his 70s or 80s and has been involved in comedy and entertainment his entire life with his wife. And I cannot tell you the transformations that I saw in that comedy class, the night and day transformations, where comedians would come in, you know, they would go up in front of the class with their, you know, material, with what they already had prepared. And then he would do these tweaks about, and the tweaks were almost never about the material. The tweaks were almost always about their persona and how they presented the material. And he would start telling these comics to make these little tweaks in terms of their presentation. And I would hear these comics go from saying the same line over and over and over again, till one time they would say the line in a certain way, which would just blow the roof off the place. And we would laugh so hard. And I would see so many of those comics a month later, a couple months later, not doing what they had discovered in that class. They would just go back to what they knew, to what was comfortable. And I remember having specific conversations with a couple of them where they just said, well, yeah, you know, it was great in that class, but then I would try to replicate it in a show and I bombed. And so I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going, well, yeah, that's because, you know, you've trained your whole nervous system to perform one way. And now, you know, this teacher helped you find a totally different way that is not natural in your nervous system when you're in fight or flight mode standing in front of an audience. So, of course, you're going to resort to what's comfortable, how you know to survive. And again, the comics were good. Like, these were good comics. We're not talking like bad comedians. And I remember talking to another comic who said the same thing. He was just, man, you know, I just couldn't sustain it. I couldn't sustain that energy for a whole show. So he just quit and just kind of went back to doing what he was doing before. And it's really, really hard. Stand-up comedy is so hard. So when you already have something that is working and it's getting you work and you're getting booked at places because of what you've been able to build so far, to look at that and go, well, I am going to completely abandon that and then rebuild from scratch in the hopes that I'm going to rebuild something even better. It is a very daunting notion. And that's really what I'm looking at now. Like, I've got about 2 hours of material. That's, you know, some of it's good. Some of it's okay. Some of it sometimes is great. But almost none of it kills. And I want to be a killer comedian. I want to slay rooms, which means I'm going to have to kill all of this material that is pretty good sometimes. And I'm glad that I have a mentor to help me through that, because I still don't really know what to do, but I am now open to figuring it out and going on this journey and seeing what I can rebuild over the next, you know, year or so, and see where I'll be then. So learned a lot on this Vegas trip. I pretty much just learned that every joke that I've ever written has got to go. Or if it doesn't have to go, it needs to be rewritten and needs to be tweaked in a manner that will at least create an opportunity for me to really just take the energy, take the vulnerability, take the honesty, take the authenticity, all of this stuff, and really be able to just come at an audience and just slay. A lot of work ahead of Paul Green Comedy. So that's where I'm at on my journey, on my dream journey right now. So I will leave it at that. I've got one more day in Vegas. I will see where I end up going tonight. But I love all of you so much. And I hope wherever you are at in your journey, whatever decisions you're having to make in terms of moving forward or how to grow, or maybe you're in a position too where you realize you have to maybe let go of some things that are good. Sometimes it's easy to let go of things that are bad for something that's good, but sometimes letting go of something that's good or that's pretty good to start over and try to rebuild something that's great is maybe not always as easy a choice to make. It can be a little daunting and overwhelmed. I'm definitely feeling that now, but that is what I need to do. So that's what I am going to go and do. All right, all my friends, I hope you're doing well. Keep chasing those dreams, and I love you all so much. This is April 3rd, 2024, episode 126 of the Paul Green Comedy Podcast, a podcast by a dreamer for all of you lovely dreamers out there. I love you all so much. I'll talk to you tomorrow.